The first lesson is from Deuteronomy chapter 8. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you, and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that, as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from Paul's letter to the Philippians, the fourth chapter. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and have heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And please rise. The Holy Gospel is according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for tonight's message is Psalm 100. Shout to the Lord, all the world. Serve the Lord with joy. Come before him shouting happily. Know that the Lord is God. He made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the flock of his pastures. Come into his gates to give thanks, into his courts to praise. Thank him, bless his name, because the Lord is good and merciful and faithful through all generations. So what do you think of when you think of Thanksgiving Day? There's obviously the good stuff, the food, which includes the turkey, the dressing, the cranberry sauce, anything but sweet potato pie. But we also think of parades and football, and it should be noted my Lions are 10-1 and are going to win tomorrow. Some people think of it as being a long weekend with lots of rest, time to unwind and relax. Unless, of course, and none of you work in retail, but poor people who work retail on Friday, the busiest shopping day of the year. But Thanksgiving is also a time for family. For some, Thanksgiving represents history. We talk about the founding of our country, the Pilgrims, the Indians, Plymouth Rock. We talk about Washington being the first president to declare Thanksgiving a holiday, and it became a national holiday under Lincoln in 1863. But for Christians, Thanksgiving is not just about food, football, and family. It's not limited to just one day. Every day is Thanksgiving. Psalm 100 is an Old Testament psalm of thanksgiving. It's an invitation to recognize God's goodness. And it's a descriptive nature of what thanksgiving should contain. First of all, thanksgiving is public. Verse 1 says, make a joyful shout to the Lord. In Hebrew, there's no word just for thanks. When you are thankful, you make a joyful noise unto something to show your thanks. So thanksgiving is not something that we're quiet about. Now, tomorrow, this is my yearly pet peeve that I rant about, but watching the parade, and they have the little doorknobs who sit there and comment about the parade. And what are you thankful for? Oh, I'm thankful for family and friends. I'm thankful for love. I'm thankful. None of them ever say they're thankful to God. Just one year. Is it too much to ask that they say they're thankful to God for all of his blessings? I think that would kill the co-host if they did. But that's my pet peeve and my rant for the evening. But true thankfulness cannot be quiet. We've kind of gotten an idea that worship should be solemn and quiet. But the Bible talks about shout to the Lord with great joy. When we have great joy, it shows. The question is not whether we shout, but whether we're joyful or not. We gladly serve the Lord. Why? Because he's done so much for us. We should be willing servants of his in return. We are to sing to the Lord. Come into his presence with singing, as the psalm says. For God is present everywhere. And in a special sense, we think if he is with us when we gather together for worship. Now, this does not apply for tonight because I was planning on a lot more people. But you can tell a lot by the church by the way they sing. Tonight our singing may not be as loud and joyful as it could be because of our numbers, but that's beside the point. Every believer should be a singer. Not a good singer, because I never will be. Not until I get my glorious crown in heaven will I finally be able to hit two notes right in a row. But Colossians 3:16 tells us, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God. Our thanksgiving should be purposeful. Some people are not thankful to God because they don't know God. Look at verse 3 of Psalm 100. Know that the Lord, He is God. It's a simple but very profound statement. It is He who made us, not ourselves. If I was going to paraphrase this, this would be my paraphrase. He is God, and you are not. Get over it. Have you noticed how ungrateful the world is? Like the two hosts or three hosts for the parade tomorrow, how ungrateful they are. They always want more. A British gentleman, Sir John Templeton, a billionaire investor. I don't know anything about him, but I like his quote. He was asked what the secret of wealth was. And without hesitation, he says, gratitude. If you're not grateful, you're not rich, no matter how much you have. When we know God and who He is, we'll give Him thanks. The gospel lesson is a very familiar gospel lesson. Jesus was on His way to Jerusalem, and He was traveling by Galilee when 10 lepers met Him. At that time, lepers had to stay 100 paces from everybody else. And one of the things about leprosy is it causes laryngitis and congestion. So they have a very nasally voice. So it would have been very difficult for them to raise their voice to say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. This is one of the times in the Bible that Jesus doesn't touch the person or say a word of healing. Instead, He says, go and show yourselves to the priests. According to Levitical law, only the priest could declare somebody cleansed of leprosy. The 10 of them stepped away in faith, and they were healed. In the midst of their joy, they found a priest, which would declare them clean, which meant they could return to their families. But one returned to Jesus and says, with a loud voice, he glorified Jesus. There's almost a sadness in Jesus' response. Weren't there also another 9? Where are they? But only one expressed gratitude. All 9 were glad. The other 9 were thankful. But only one took the time to express thanksgiving. We have reason to thank God. He gave us eternal life, the greatest gift of them all. Psalm 100 says, we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. As the great shepherd, He cares for every one of our needs. We have a purpose. We have a reason to be thankful. And our thanksgiving is passionate. Thankful people are expressive people. Look at verse 4. We are to enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. We are to give thanks to Him, bless His name. Thanksgiving should be expressive. We've all watched game shows. And I'm thinking of The Price is Right, for an example, because that was the one I always watched when I was sick home from school. And somebody would win a car. Now, did any of them that ever won a car go like old Eeyore from Disney and go, oh, great, I just won a car, yippee skippy? No, they danced, they did little victory jigs, they did everything. We're happy for material prizes, but we have eternal riches beyond imagination. Thanksgiving is both an attitude and an action. When we have the right attitude, we express our thanksgiving with action. Let your hearts be thankful so that it gives glory to God. Our thanksgiving is also perpetual. There are 3 perpetual attributes of God. 1, He's always good. All good things come from God, whether that's faith, family, health, all happiness comes from God. His mercy is also perpetual, for it is everlasting. We won't look at Psalm 136, but the constant refrain in Psalm 136 is, for His mercy endures forever. It has 1 or 2 verses, for His mercy endures forever, and it continues through a rather lengthy Psalm. For His mercy endures forever. Mercy means withheld judgment. God's mercy is everlasting. And 4th perpetual attribute of God is truth endures. from Matthew 24. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. From Isaiah 40. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. From the time that Moses penned the first five books of what we call the Old Testament, his word endures forever. Because God's blessings are perpetual, our gratitude should never cease. God's goodness, mercy, and truth are perpetual. They never end, and they endure forever. Lamentations 3, 22 to 24 says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. We have so much to be thankful for. So let our thanksgiving be public, purposeful, passionate, and perpetual, in remembering the one from whom all blessings flow. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.